Sometimes Forex trading is a wild and woolly place to be. That's why Hugh's here, to pose your questions to Walter, the naked Forex guy. Hugh's got questions, and Walter's got the answers. Here at the Truth About FX podcast.
Hey, Walter, a lot of educators talk about the benefits of backtesting, but what are the downsides?
Wow, what a great question. So, one of the things I would say about backtesting is if you're not really careful, you can make a couple of mistakes. The first mistake would be that you would backtest a very limited range. So let's say, for example, you backtested the euro on the daily chart between, say, 2000 and, you know, 2002 to 2004 or something like that, or even 2002 to 2003, what you might come away with is a system that works really, really good in a trending market, but doesn't work so well in a choppy, sideways, you know, swing up, swing down sort of market. So that's one thing that I would guard against. And the other thing would be, you know, so in other words, what you want to do is you want to make sure that you test in different types of markets. So you want to make sure that you know, based on your backtesting, okay, if there's a trending market, my system's not going to do so well. Or if there's a sideways market, wow, my system's going to do really well or whatever. So you kind of have to know that. And if you only take a limited slice of historical charts to use in your backtesting to verify your system and to build your confidence, then you're going to be in trouble later on when the market doesn't give you exactly what you backtested. So, and the other mistake would be to assume that your system that you backtest is going to work in all markets. So the real point here is if I'm backtesting the CAD yen, and if I've got a lot of dials and switches and things that I can fine tune, and indicators are famous for this. Like, let's say I'm doing a CAD yen system and I adjust the MACD and I adjust the moving average, and then maybe I've got like a stochastic or momentum or something, and I adjust and fine tune all those so it fits my system really, really well. Well, I can't assume then that that's going to work if I go ahead and trade the pound, you know, or, you know, the euro yen or something like that. So the reason why I like simple strategies is not only because it makes it easy to make a decision, but the other piece of that is it's hard to curve fit or overfit your system if it's so simple that you can't really dial it in and get it really, really tight to the data, if that makes any sense. So I like really simple, robust strategies. And, you know, if you really hone in your strategy so it works really, really well on the data set that you've tested, then it often means that when you take that setup, that system, and you apply it to a new different data set, which could be the live markets, right, you're in big trouble. So those are the two big mistakes I think people make, is they don't test different types of markets to see what happens, the personality of their system in those types of markets. And the other one would be overfitting your system to a particular market. And so that means that, of course, it doesn't quite apply as well to the other markets. So those are the two things that I would say.
I see. Yeah, I see that a lot, especially with the EAs and the robots. They have a tremendous, like, 1 year track record. But, you know, unless that was 2004, you're not going to get the same results, right?
Exactly. That's right. You got it. Yep. Cool. Great question.
Do you have a rule of thumb as to how many markets to test or how long to test or anything like that?
Oh, well, one thing that I would say is, I definitely go back at least 10 years, you know, when I'm looking at a strategy. And then what I'll do, like, for example, let's say I go, okay, I'll see if this works on the euro. Okay. I'll post, if you want, I can post underneath this video so everyone listening to this can get it. I'll post an ebook so you can see a strategy that I use, which is a very simple price action based strategy that's based on a particular candle type. Now, when I went and looked at that strategy, I backtested it, and first, you know, the euro, the pound, the Aussie, these sorts of things. And I always look at 10 years, and then I'll go back and do another pair and do a 10 years on that one and so forth. So I won't actually trade it live until I've backtested it, that particular market, and over the last 10 years. Because I figure in most cases that'll give me a wide range of of, you know, of different market conditions. It may not, but that's my assumption. And the other thing is you can eyeball it. You can look at it and say, has the market been going mostly up? So if you look at the, you know, if you look at the Aussie dollar for 2015, it was going mostly down, right? So these are the sorts of things you can eyeball by looking at the chart too. But yeah, so I guess to answer your question, I typically will go with 10 years of data and I won't trade it until I've actually backtested it. So I don't just backtest the strategy in the euro and then go, well, I'm going to trade it in the Kiwi and I'm going to trade it in the Aussie and I'm going to trade it in the loonie and all that. So I definitely want to make sure it works in that particular market. And so when I came up with a special derivative of the belt setup, which I'll give you guys in the show notes of this podcast, I wanted to make sure that it was going to work in different types of markets. So I had to go back and test all of them. And so that's the way I look at it. I look at 10 years and I definitely need to test the market before I go ahead and trade that market. So that's how I do it. Yeah.
Oh, I see. Cool. So what if somebody has the opposite problem? Like maybe they're testing a system on the 30-minute chart or something, and they have, if they want to look at 10 years of data, that's kind of a lot of testing. So what would you recommend in that case?
Oh, right. Yeah, right. Good question. Yeah, right. So 10 years. Yeah, I assume I'm looking at daily charts. I'm looking at daily and weekly charts, things like that. And even 10 years with weekly charts may not be enough, but you might have to go back a little bit further. But yeah, if you're looking at the 30-minute charts, I'm sorry, I totally forgot that there are a lot of people that trade the lower time frames. You definitely would go into, like, I would go with volume. Like, I would definitely, this is what I tell my students. If you don't have at least 500 trades under your belt, then don't even think about going, you know, live with it. So that would be kind of a minimum sample size, would be 500 trades. And again, the idea here is it's the number of trades, yes, but more importantly, the type of market that it's trading in. So if you've got a reversion to the mean type system, and so you wait for the market to get really far away, and then you're basically betting on it snapping back to a sort of a midpoint, like the middle of the Bollinger Band or whatever. So that if you're doing that, you want to make sure that you take a lot of those trades during, or at least see potential trades during trending markets, because that Bollinger Band snapback system is going to work really, really well when you're trading a sideways market. But when you're in a trending market, it's going to be a little bit tougher. So that's the more important thing to me, is that you get a breadth of different types of markets under your belt. Certainly the number is critical too, because the more you take, the more likely you are to hit different types of markets. But really so I would just say, look, 10 years if you're trading daily charts, 500 minimum if you're trading anything lower than the, you know, anything lower than the 4-hour, basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Awesome. Thanks.
See ya.